How do you think it's different from the first season? What have you learned during the first season?
The first season was it was raw, man. It was tough, and it was fun, and I loved the way it turned out. But it was really, we learned a lot of lessons, and we learned not to do too much too soon. So we were trying to balance things out and make each episode as strong as we could with the second season. And I think having a smaller amount of shows to do helped us to focus that a little bit better. Yeah, you know, season one, I think we were just kind of getting our legs underneath us and figuring out what the show is. And definitely season two, we were able to focus and go, okay, we know what it is, let's go for it. And in some ways, I think there are things about season one that I feel like I'm missing a little bit in season two, but in a lot of ways, more ways, season two is bigger and bolder and crazier, and there's so much packed into every episode that I think people will be surprised because there's a lot of crazy stuff going on.
Okay, just watching the show, it's so much fun, even if you're an adult. It's like a guilty pleasure if you're an adult. But I have to ask, what's the set like? Because you guys seem to be just having so much fun.
It is. It's hard. I think that's what makes it tough, is we're on a tight schedule, and we have to get stuff done really fast. And, you know, the Aquabats, we're a band. We're not actor guys. We didn't go to, acting college. So... We're kind of making fun of ourselves the whole time, and we're ribbing each other the whole time. And at the same time, there's this intense pressure, like, we can't do a lot of takes. So, you know, we've got to, get it in one or two takes. And that's what makes it fun, is because we're always kind of trying to crack each other up and get in trouble. And it really feels like you're the class clown with a bunch of other class clowns, and you're getting paid to just, be a class clown, I guess, because there's a very serious, we gotta get this done attitude on the set, and at the same time with the Aquabats, we need to be kind of in the loony zone, a little bit of Daffy Duck Looney Tunes, mm-hmm. And so that's what makes it fun. It's really fun. I think if we had more time, it would be even funner, but nothing would probably get done, so, because we're all just joking around the whole time, so, it's pretty rad.
When I look at your career and, your whole, catalog of work over the years, you remind me a lot of Devo lead singer Mark Mothersbaugh. He just, had this great career in music, and then he kind of ended up doing music for TV shows, and then, obviously, the Yo Gabba Gabba, obviously, and, how does that make you feel to kind of be like this generation, like the Aquabats, be like this generation's Devo? How does that make you feel?
Wow, thank you. No one's ever really said that before, so I'm honored and stoked to say that. Particularly, the Aquabats, we started, and it's funny because I just had lunch with Mark Mothersbaugh yesterday because we're talking about another project. Which is weird. It's so weird because I grew up idolizing Devo and thinking they're the best thing ever. And, when we started the Aquabats, we were like, let's be a band like Devo and let's all wear the same thing. And we kind of went off on our own tangent with the whole superhero TV, campy TV show angle. And Devo was definitely more socio-political mm-hmm. commentary. And we're just kind of going off having fun doing our thing, but Devo's been a huge influence on my life, and Mark is a genius, and he really is so prolific in not just music, but art and all the things he does, so to be even mentioned in the same breath, that's incredible, because I really look up to Mark, and I really feel like he's one of our generations or our lifetimes kind of underrated geniuses. People don't really always get what Mark's doing, but he's light years kind of ahead of everybody. He's kind of one of those guys, an alien that's come to Earth and he's tried to spread his message and he realizes no one's getting it because no one speaks his language, so he's just doing the thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, he's a mad genius, so thank you very much. But obviously, on the band.
No problem. And I interviewed Mark about a year ago, and I asked him when was the moment that he knew that he wanted to be a musician, and he told me it was when he saw, you know, the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. That totally, like, warped my mind. So considering that I kind of see you guys in the same vein, I'm going to ask you the same question. When did you know that, you know, you wanted to be a musician?
Yeah, part of it, definitely, I would say, I never did but, you know, watching Devo on, there's a show called Fridays that used to be on. It was like Saturday Night Live, but it was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a competing network, like, to kind of compete with Saturday Night Live. And I saw Devo on Fridays, and then I'd watch Devo on TV or whatever. And, you know, watching the Muppet Show and all this. There was a ton of variety shows on when I was a kid. And so I always liked music. But it wasn't until I was probably in junior high school that I hung out with a bunch of punker kids at my school, and we were all into punk and listening to hardcore and things like that. And all my friends, they were like, let's start a band. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. That'd be awesome. And they're like, okay, you're going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And my friend Tim's like, I'll be the singer because I have a microphone. And I was like, okay, well, what can I do? You know, and they're like, we'll practice at your house. So my friends, they all practiced at my house because my mom was divorced, and she kind of was like depressed, and she kind of just let us do whatever we wanted. It was like kind of a bad time for my family, but it was a good time to be a punker because, you know, you could rally against the world. And anyway, so all my friends, they practiced at my house, and I was like, man, I always wanted to be the singer, and they'd go play shows or play parties or whatever, and I was kind of like the rogue, and I was always in the back going, man, I want to sing, I want to be the singer, I could do that, I could jump around. And I was very critical of the singer of the band, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in my mind, I was like watching him do his thing, and then going like, oh, I would do that so different, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I was super jealous. So, but then we, you know, we'd go to shows, and I went and saw Bad Brains one year.
Mm-hmm.
This was '86, and they blew me away. And I was like, I got to do that somehow because they play crazy, fast hardcore, and everyone's going crazy. And then they hit the brakes and play these reggae songs, and it'd be like punkers and skinheads and gangster guys, and everyone would stop and put their arms around each other and, like, dance. And it was really awkward and weird and sweaty, but it was so funny, too. It was, like, really ironic because all these guys that were just, like, previously trying to beat each other up in the pit, and then now they're all dancing and doing the reggae, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was so rad. I was like, wow. Between that, the band experience, and then seeing Bad Brains, and then, of course, a couple years later, the Pixies, and it was like, man, I just became such a big music fan, and I had been since I was a kid. But, you know, Devo, Bad Brains, Pixies, like, those are definitely the bands that, like, inspired me to want to play music.
Absolutely. All right, so considering, I mean, your large body of work, you're like a pop culture, you're like, you know, Kevin Bacon times two, considering, like, all the stuff that you've been on, like Highway to Heaven, Roseanne V, I mean, all this stuff. How do you want the Aquabats Super Show to be remembered in your whole, you know, legacy? How do you want people to remember this show in relation to you?
I like where we're at with the Aquabats show. Like, the Aquabats have always kind of been like the nerd fraternity of music. Like, someone has entered the conference. Stacey Harrison.
Stacey?
Hello.
Hey, it's JP calling. It's JP. Sorry. We're just wrapping up another interview right now, so if you can hang on the line, we'll get to you just momentarily.
Yep, no problem.
Sorry about that, guys. Go ahead.
That's okay.
But I think going back to, like, the Mark Mothers Bar, the Devo comparison, like, I think I know the Aquabats means it means a lot to us and our families, obviously, but it does mean, it means something to some fans out there. And there's people that are really passionate and really into the Aquabats, and then there's people that hate anything to do with the Aquabats. There's not a whole lot of, like, indifference. I mean, there is. There's, like, oh, who cares? But there's a lot of passion on both sides of the Aquabats. And I think how I'd want to be remembered is just kind of, like, it would be great. You know, we just got nominated for an Emmy, and it would be great to win. That'd be awesome. But I'm not expecting it because it's kind of like the Aquabats are, like, the underdogs, you know, like, underdog heroes forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, in a way, even though I don't want to doom myself to not continued success, I'd love to keep doing it and be successful. But in a way, it'd be cool to always be remembered as, like, that was something special that never, it never changed and never, it was always something rad that I remember that it never got so big that, I couldn't, it didn't feel special to me anymore, if that makes sense. You know how, like, you like a band, and then they sell a million records, and they kind of change, and everybody on the street is talking about them, and but you've been wearing this shirt for years, and
yeah.
It's kind of like when Nirvana blew up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all liked Nirvana, and then suddenly they were the biggest band in the world, and it just felt weird when the guys that were making fun of you 2 weeks ago, now they like the band that you like. It's just weird, you know?
Absolutely.
So I guess in a way, I'd like the Aquabats to remain anonymous superheroes in a way. And at the same time, I'd love to, like, be able to keep doing it. And so it's just one of those things that I like where we're at. Like, we're at a really great spot on, you know, where we've been recognized for what we've done, but we're still special to all the kids and the fans that have liked us for so long.